Blog Talk Radio.
Grace and peace be unto you. Welcome each of you to Ignite, our weekly broadcast centered on infusing you with the Word of God, inciting His power, and provoking His passion within you. Our desire is that our broadcast will establish growth, new zeal, and God's purpose for your life. This is Pastor Lakeisha Camp Grant, founder of A Diamond in the Rough Ministry, and I will be your weekly infuser. I am delighted at the opportunity to usher you into the best part of your life. Stay tuned.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. We were in a deep conversation before the program started, but anyway, glory to God. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Ignite. This is Apostle Lakeisha Grant, and I am the founder and the senior pastor here at A Diamond in the Rough Ministries. We are located here at 6209 Lakeside Avenue in Richmond, Virginia. And if this is your first time joining us, whether it be in-house or whether it be online, we invite you to go to our website, which is www.ditrministries.com. And there you are going to find all kinds of wonderful information about who we are, what we stand for, and just find some fun facts about what we're going to be doing in the coming future with our ministry. And just in case this is the first time you're listening to us as well, if you go to our website, you will find previous recordings of our Bible study lessons. So it's a lot of good stuff out there. So I would direct anyone who hasn't had the opportunity to go out to our website yet, please go and find out more information about us. Again, our website is www.ditrministries.com. Amen. Well, y'all know we're going to go ahead and get started with Bible study because I always have a lot to cover and I want to make sure that I can get it all in the time that is allotted. Amen. Amen. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you tonight, God, and we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father God, for everything that has transpired in the day. We thank you, oh precious Lord, for every up, for every down, for everything that has transpired, because we know, God, it has all been for our good. Father God, I just want to bless you on today just for being kind, just for being good, just for being loving, just for being gracious, just for being merciful. I give you glory, Father God, that we can come in again to your house to have the opportunity to receive your word. I bless you on this afternoon, oh God, just for the ability to be able to articulate your word, to give us the understanding and the revelations, to give us the secrets of your word. God, I count it an honor to be able to open up your word and you begin to illuminate your truth to me, Father God. I am so grateful to you, God, that you didn't leave us in our dark places, God. I can speak for myself. I'm grateful today, God, that you didn't leave me in darkness. You didn't leave me in stupidity. You didn't leave me in ignorance. But I'm so grateful that every time I open up my word, you lead me down a path of truth. You lead me into a brighter future, into a brighter place. And I just love you on today. I know the word, the world, they say that knowledge is power, but I don't know about so much as power as far as strength, but I know it has empowered me to step up out of my low place, step up out of my insecure place, step up out of every place that I felt that I found that I had deficiency. And learning this word has taught me how to be empowered in you, that your word says that I can do all things in you, God. We can do all things in you. So today, God, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for the power that comes in your word, the power to get up, the power to think right, the power to speak right, the power to live right, the power to stand up, the power to be strengthened, the power to move forward, and all of the other wonderful attributes that come with receiving your word. Lord, I love you today. We love you today, and we certainly bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, you all, we, over the last couple of weeks, you all know we have. Now, let me say this. If this is your first time joining our Bible study again, we invite you to go back and listen to our previous, because we have been in a series here. We've been talking about deliverance. And, you know, he ain't letting go. But I'm grateful because you know what, y'all? You know what? I'm grateful that he's not letting go because he's taking us deeper. And we talked about this even last week or maybe a couple of weeks ago when we said that deep calls to deep. And so the more we open ourselves, the more we allow him to expose those things in us, the deeper he can go and pull out those things that are in us. So I'm grateful that when I thought it was time to release it, he didn't release it. When I thought it was time to let it go, he didn't let it go because he wanted to go deeper. And what that means is that we have allowed ourselves, we have availed ourselves for the Spirit of God to come in and go deeper in us. So I'm excited. And if he tells me to keep going, I'm going to keep going. As he keeps exposing, I'm going to keep sharing, and we're going to keep talking, because there is something about, I'm learning so much about deliverance. Hallelujah. I'm learning about, and I will really say, in this place that we've been in, we have been in a place of self-deliverance. Amen. Because there is a place that you operate in ministry where you're doing deliverance. Amen. A lot of people say, you know, well, I'm called to the ministry of deliverance. Well, you're not called to deliverance until you can self-deliver. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost already. You can't go, you can't deliver nobody out of nothing. I don't care how many demons you call out. I don't care how much anointing you think you have. I don't care how much power you think you have. I don't care how much authority you think you have. You have none of that if you cannot practice self-deliverance, if you cannot allow the Spirit of God to deliver you. So I count it a joy that we are having this time, that God is delivering us out of our own stuff, because that is affirming what he's calling us into. Woo, Jesus. I don't know if that was for nobody. That was for me. I can shout all by myself on that. Hallelujah. I know without a shadow of a doubt that because of what God is doing, it is affirming and confirm and confirming what he's calling us into. Hallelujah. So count it an honor that God is digging deep in your life. Hallelujah. Because that is where he's going to send you, to the deep places in people's lives and to the deep places of people's hearts. And what he does not have time for is for you to get sick while you're on the battlefield. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have time to come and try to sit you up, hallelujah, while you're fighting this good fight of faith. And so he's building us up in our most holy of faith now, so that we can be effective for the fight ahead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So over the last couple of weeks, we have discussed the process of deliverance, and we've discussed how to stay delivered. And so today we're going to discuss, or we're going to look towards, continued development or continued growth. Today we're going to look at the root of bitterness. Oh, boy. Now we're getting ready to dig deep, so I'm going to take my time this evening. We're going to dig real deep here, because what I found is, two of the biggest components that hinder our progression in life are this. Listen, unforgiveness and bitterness. These two characteristics can be linked to every other issue that causes us, watch this, to be either sick physically, spiritually, or emotionally. Hallelujah. Think about it. I'm going to give just 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Think about it. Every issue that you come in, whether it's financial, emotional, spiritual, physical, everything is tied to unforgiveness or bitterness. Okay. What y'all think about that? What are your thoughts, but would you agree? Okay. Okay, so when we look at bitterness, well, let me give you the scripture. Our foundational scripture tonight is going to come from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. And the Bible says, "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." Say that again. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. So when we look at bitterness, we're going to look at it a little different today. Bitterness defiles us. And not only does bitterness defile us, it defiles those in whom we come in contact with. Hallelujah. Bitterness is like a contagious virus that is contracted through association with other sick carriers, okay? What am I saying? What I'm saying today is, many of us, much of our bitterness is not per se because of our issue. Watch this. Some of us are bitter because sometimes we allow people around us who continue to remind us of our problems. And I know we see we're so used to thinking of bitterness as and you know, and we do have to do self-examination, amen. But in doing our self-examination, we need to do an external scan as well. Amen, because everything is not coming internal and going out. Some things are externally coming in and causing an issue with us. Amen. Or a lot of times we have people around us who remind us constantly of our shortcomings. Amen. Some of us are bitter because the folks that are around us are bitter. Oh, that's going to help somebody tonight. Sometimes we struggle with bitterness because people around us are bitter. Hallelujah. Some of us, you know, y'all know how some of the folk you have around you are, amen, they like bitter Bobs and bitter Bettys. Amen. They mad at the dog. They mad at the cat. Amen. They mad at anything. Amen. They go to the restaurant. They mad at the restaurant. They mad at the show. That anywhere they go is an issue. They mad at something. Amen. And what begins to happen is when you continue to keep yourself around people who spew this type of venom, amen, what begins to happen is you become a human a garbage can. And see, in your becoming the human garbage can, you then begin to reap or receive, or what they are giving out begins to find a place of residence in you. And then what begins to happen is you begin to smell like the trash that they put in you. Every bit of bitterness that we have dealt with usually is not, see, watch this, and why am I saying this? I'm saying this because we've been talking about being delivered. We've been talking about being set free. And even on last week, we talked about how to stay set free. And a lot of us, we still go wrong. We still have issues. Oh, that's because, yes, you've allowed God to deal with you. You've allowed God to deal with your heart. You've allowed God to do the things that he needs to do in you. But what you forget to do is check the things that are being poured into you. Hallelujah. Because we've become so self-focused that we forget that it's not just stuff that's in us that needs to be fixed, that we need to make sure what's being poured into our new wineskin is the right kind of thing. Hallelujah. And so a lot of sometimes bitterness is not so much of, I'm mad they did this to me. Sometimes bitterness is because you keep having the same people around you reminding you of your issues over and over and over again. And so then you get mad with yourself again. Then you feel short. Then you condemn yourself again. Then you feel faulty again. Then you feel sad again. Then you feel mad again. And you keep replaying the stuff over and over again. And what happens? You become bitter. You know why you become bitter? Because you think you can't get no better. Watch this. Our friends, associates, comrades, or what we would equate to the company we keep, they are the indicators of our level of bitterness, whether it's fully seen or hidden. I'm going to say it again. The company we keep is an indicator of what is in you. Okay, y'all quiet on that one. So let me go to my text. Let me go to the next text so I can prove my case, because everybody cry like, well, yeah, you really want it. Well, it's the truth. Your company that we keep is an indicator of the level of bitterness that lives in us. What does that, okay. Go with me to Psalm 1:1. Psalm 1:1. The Bible said, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. So when we look at this particular text is what I'm going to call the road to bitterness. When you're struggling in bitterness, or, you know, at the beginning of the text, it tells you that you can be blessed if you don't do these certain things. So that means, before you decide to participate in the activities after the blessed, you are blessed. Amen. So the blessing comes when we're delivered, when we're set free, when God does this miraculous thing in our life. But then, because when we don't check our surroundings, when we won't deal with the things that are externally influencing us, then we become a product of that. And it's usually the people who are around us. Okay, so the three things that are on the road that lead to the road of bitterness is, the first is walking in the counsel of the ungodly, standing in the way of the sinner, and sitting in the seat of the scornful. So, standing. You understand? Now, you see this is a progression. So, we're standing. We're walking. We're standing. And then we're sitting. Walking is moving towards something. Standing is becoming immobile. And sitting is completely engaging in immobility. Amen? So I want us to understand why this leads to the place called stuck in bitterness. Because you start out one way, but when you stay there long enough and you entertain it, you then become a participant in what is being released. So let's go to our first one. Walking in the counsel of the ungodly. The Bible says in Amos 3:3, do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? So that really is the question that bears. So when we're talking about moving in the same direction, walking together establishes a place of agreement. Amen. Agreement is the number two. When two people walk together, that denotes it's the number of agreement. So when the scripture says, it says that we shouldn't be walking in the council. What does it mean by the council? The council is someone who gives us advice, or we should not be agreeing with the advice of, hallelujah, we should not be agreeing with the advice of the ungodly. Who are the ungodly? The wicked, the criminal, the guilty of sin, people who have unrighteous cause or bring false charges against another person. So what is this saying? It's saying walking that we should not, we will lose our blessing by walking in the counsel of the ungodly, by being in agreement with the advice of those who live in the place of sin, who agree with sin. And see, that's something that we can go all out and all over the world. We can go find advice from everybody. Hallelujah. We can go get advice from Aliana. We can get it from Oprah. We can get it from all of these different people. But you will never want to believe a man and woman of God. When somebody tell you, hey, listen, live holy, live righteous. I don't take all that. Okay. Well, the Bible says that if you want to stay blessed, that it's good not to get your advice from people who live in the place of sin, because you're walking with them right now. Amen. And you're entertaining them right now. But if you keep walking long enough, as we will see in this text, your walking is going to lead you somewhere. Hallelujah. And see, sometimes when we negate to understand that when God brings us out of something, when God delivers us from something, he does it because he's taking us in another direction. That's what deliverance is, turning away from a direction in which you were once going in and going into another. But when we take up counsel with those who have no desire to live the way we want to live, to think the way we want to think, then it causes us to be redirected. Watch this. Exodus 23:7 says, have nothing to do with a false charge, and do not put an innocent or honest person to death, for I will not acquit the guilty. This is what the Lord is saying. He's saying, watch your mouth. Watch who you see, because these people, that their job, these people, these ungodly people, their job is to falsely accuse those who are not guilty. And when you participate in it, you are doing it. And so what God is saying to you, check yourself before you wreck yourself, because if you put them in the place of falsely accusing them, then I'm going to indict you as well. But you didn't, because you came into agreement with it. The Bible says, how can two walk together lest they agree? So if they agreeing with the foolishness and you listening and you walking with them, you are saying by your participation with them, by you standing with them, that I agree too. See, sometimes we real tricky and we as the saints. Amen. As far as how we deal with certain things, because I ain't say nothing, but you was listening. You was listening. Hallelujah. You was there. You was listening. You participated in it. Because you could have very well said, no, I ain't going to do this with you. I don't agree with that. I don't think you should have said that. I don't think that's right. I don't think that's right that what you said. It's very nice to say that. But because you sat and you listened, you have then came into agreement because it says you all are walking together. Because, see, when you're walking in agreement with them, you have inclined your ear to them.
Okay.
So we lose our blessing, the blessing of being delivered, by not walking or by walking in the counsel of the ungodly. So we should not walk in agreement with false accusers. We should not come into agreement with things that don't agree with us. I'm going to say that again. Don't agree with something that don't agree with you. Don't agree with things that don't agree with you. When people are saying things about you and about how you used to be and who you used to be and they try to pin it on you now, I'm not that anymore. See, we have to begin to understand that. Even the little snide jokes people make. Hey, no, that ain't funny. That ain't funny. No, that's not funny. I'm not that anymore. That's who I used to be, but I'm not that anymore. Don't come into agreement with it, because as soon as you come into agreement, you give it lateral footage in your life. You give it the ability to take to operate in your life. Now, we're saying that we are coming out of deliverance and we're free, but you didn't check your surroundings, because your surroundings, their job is to bring you back into bondage. How mad do you want to be free? Okay. Glory to God. How bad do we all want to be free? So then it goes on to say, not only should we not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, but then we shouldn't stand in the path of the sinner. So let's look at this. Walking in agreement leads to standing to receive. It's a progression. So once we give ourselves over to giving someone, inclining ourselves to them, then they can engage us with the negativity. I'm talking about how bitterness gets in us. We allow them to engage us with their negativity. Standing, to remain, to, watch this. In this particular text, the word standing is to remain, present oneself, abide or dwell. Ooh, Jesus. Watch this. Do not take up residence in someone else's issues. See, you think you bitter because of you. No, you bitter because they bitter. You mad because they mad. They mad at Ray Ray, now you mad at Ray Ray. They mad at Shishi, now you mad at Shishi. They mad at Bon Quisha, now you mad at Bon Quisha. Quisha ain't do nothing to you. What you mad at her for? But see, now they have sown a seed of bitterness into you, and now you see, and that's what the scripture said, and what God said: don't participate with people who falsely accuse others. And so when she makes you angry, or when he makes you angry with somebody else, they are putting you in the place of falsely accusing them. That's how you become guilty as charged. Hallelujah, glory to God. But we do it. Because you know that's our girl, that's our boy, and you're gay, man, I'm mad too. No. If they didn't do nothing to you, keep it moving. Hallelujah. And that ain't about no loyalty. It's about what God says we're supposed to do. Glory to God. So that we can stay in the... I don't need no... How many want to really be delivered from bitterness? For real. That's how we... Listen, I ain't mad at Quisha. Listen, that was you and Quisha, and I ain't got nothing to do with she ain't pay your $10 back. I'm sorry she ain't pay your $10 back. I pay my money back. Hallelujah. I'm good. We good, right? So whatever you and Quisha got, y'all deal with it. But we don't do that. We take on, because you know it's about loyalty. You know, we ride or die. No, I ain't riding or die for nobody. I got you, boo. I got my home. Okay, my bad. I got him. But really, but you know, that's how we are with our friends. Glory to God. That's how we are. And we do things and it causes us, amen, to get out of the place with God. Glory to God. It causes us to get out of the place with God because if we take on their stuff, and it's not your stuff, it's their stuff. Amen. The best thing I got, I can pray for you. Hallelujah. I can pray for you. I can't take on your stuff. But we have become so accustomed to taking on people's stuff. And you wake up and you mad and you got an attitude and you cussing the cat out and you cussing the dog out and you laying there. I just had a rough day. Why? Not because you mad, because they mad. And you have taken it on. Come on, y'all know we do that. Y'all know we do that. So, and then it says, don't stand in the path of the sinner. Don't take up someone else's issue. Walking with someone can easily cause you to be redirected. Question. So, if you're in a good mood, right, how in the world can someone come, have a conversation with you, and redirect your whole mood because they mad at somebody else? I'm real. Isn't that real? I'm talking about dealing with our bitterness. I mean, really dealing with your bitterness. Amen? Glory to God. And see, when we learn to do that, and then we can help our other folk who may be struggling with bitterness. Wait a minute. Hold on. Not going to be the trash can today. Let's be able to talk about what's going on with you. Because I feel like you affected me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Okay. So then what we need to do not stand in, listen, reside in or dwell in the path of the sinner. In this text, the word sinner is also translated as offender. It's also translated as offender. So we should not stand in, blessing, we should not stand in, reside in, dwell in the path of the sinner or the offender. So watch this. Psalm 51 and 4, you know, we've studied Psalm 51 for a minute. And it says, against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. So when the Lord, when he's talking to us, or he's talking to the one who's the sinner, David is saying in Psalm 51 is, because you know that part of me, that foolishness in me, you have every right to judge me. Now, what is this the text that we're looking at, Psalms 1 and 1 saying? That text is saying, when it's saying, don't stand in the path of the sinner, you can coincide it with Psalm 51. Because the Lord is saying, don't stand in the path of the sinner. Because if you do, you're going to be judged the same way I'm judging him. Because if he is, in the text, the word sinner means offender. If he is an offender and you are standing in his path, you then become a co-conspirator. Because you are standing in the same place he's standing. Oh, Lord, help me. Jesus. You are now an accomplice to the crime. Because we are standing in the place of the sinner. And that's why he says, don't see, keep it, you know what the same people say, keep it moving. You know, y'all, I'm realizing these sayings that people have, they are so prophetic. They are so prophetic. It's not just stuff that people thought about in their head. These are prophetic sayings that we can take into consideration. Keep it moving. Yeah, that's what this text is saying. Keep it moving. Don't stop. Don't stay. Because if you stand there, you're going to get caught up. Because they have your attention. They're going to be able to sow seeds of discord. They're going to be able to sow seeds of anger and frustration and build up that place of bitterness. Keep making you a human garbage can. So what the text is saying is, don't stand. Keep it moving. Get out of there. Amen. We had the hardest time doing that, don't we, y'all? Amen. Because we want to be right there. And, you know, then we say it's because we love them. I just want to support you. I just love you. And, you know, I just don't want nothing to happen to you. And then, but you know they dealing in bitterness. You can't fix their bitterness. You can't help their bitterness. Your job is to pray and try to pull them out of bitterness. You know what I pray for? Lord, give me boldness. So when people come and they're speaking the language called bitterness, I can say, oh, no, I don't speak that language. No, no, I can't. Let's not do that. What's really going on? Let's talk about what's really going on. And then I can determine whether I can help you. I can't help you. You just don't talk about me. But I can't help you. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Right. Hallelujah. Because then we wouldn't take on so much stuff. A lot of times you stay up at night, you worry about somebody else's stuff. Your dream patterns all messed up. I had a crazy dream last night because somebody just poured some garbage in you. Oh, Lord, I'm talking about bitterness. Some of it is not yours. It's somebody else's drink. You done drunk somebody else's Kool-Aid. And it has affected your life. Okay. No more sharing cups. That's what you said. No more sharing cups. Amen. We got, you know, y'all, this stuff is so important because, you know, as God is developing us, as God is moving us, as God is going deeper and digging all of that stuff out, amen, and pouring more of his goodness into us and revealing those things that we need to deal with on a regular basis, it's easy. This is what I found out. It's easy to do a self-examination. But then this is where it's going to start getting hard. This is where it's going to get uncomfortable. Because now you got to check folk around you. Oh, see, that's why it's got, see, you, we can't, if you call to deliverance, if you can't do self-deliverance, oh, Jesus, help me. If you can't do self-deliverance first, you can't do it nowhere else. And you can't come to me and tell me, you know, you need to get rid of such and such, and you need to do, no. You need to get rid of such and such. And hallelujah. You need to deal with the stuff in your life. We have to deal with this stuff and the things that affect our lives that causes us not to produce or move forward. And sometimes, in most of our instances, it's the company we keep. It is the company we keep. Amen? But you know why I say it's the company you keep? Because a lot of times we are in the place of deliverance right now, but we still got the same friends. Oh, so they were the same sick people that participated in your sickness when you were sick. And you still with them. Now, they haven't gotten well yet. So how you think that's going to work? Okay, even the world understands the premise. When I don't smoke crack no more, I can't go back to the crack house. And what you can't do is come in my house and smoke it either. Oh, y'all ain't going to talk to me. We're the only people that have said no, walk away, and then invite, turn around and invite the people who participated in the foolishness back into our house. You know, could Jesus love them? Yeah, Jesus can love them over there. Oh, y'all know. Jesus. Jesus can love them at their house. How can he love them at their house? Don't bring it to my house. Jesus can love them over the phone. How you doing? God bless you. I'm praying for you. What you say? Nope, got to go. Click. Hallelujah. I'm talking about killing bitterness. We're digging up the root of bitterness. And we realize that a lot of times the root of bitterness comes because of things that are around us that pour into our cup, things that we've accepted, things that keep, no matter how much we try to get our cup clean, somebody is pouring negativity into us. So we have to check the things that are around us so that we won't keep getting infected with bitterness. Bitterness is like, it's like having a cold. Hallelujah. And it's infectious. You know, you ever know that somebody that's bitter, they ain't just bitter by themselves. Everybody bitter around them. They cousins bitter. They churn bitter. You ever see a hateful chick? She hateful. Her mama hateful. I know somebody like that. They hateful. They mama hateful. They sisters hateful. They kids hateful. It's the craziest thing ever. They just hateful. The whole generation, all of them, hateful. Hateful. You see them kind of face bent up. What is wrong? You can't be around them because you can't be happy in their presence. They steal every bit of happiness you have. They'll suck it out of you. So if God has delivered you and gave you joy and peace and all of this wonderful stuff, and you step into the presence of people like that, what you think gonna happen? If you're struggling with depression, what you think gonna happen? If you're struggling with insecurity, what do you think is going to happen? Yeah, because you are standing in the path of the sinner. And therefore, the indictment comes against you as well. Are we talking good tonight? Okay. Now, this is the last thing. I'm actually almost done. Nor should we sit in the seat of the scornful. Uh-oh. Y'all see how that went? See the progression? So we walking. I'm good, honey. Yeah, you just saying all kinds of crazy stuff. Well, you know how we do. We know when we walking with people and, you know, God bless you. You know, God is good. And then they say, you know, then they pull you in with some old sob story. You know, I just can't believe such and such. I just feel like such a victim. And then here you go. You got the tender heart you're feeling. Then you stop and you're listening to them. Yeah, well, let me pray for you. Then next thing you know, you praying for me. After you finish praying for me, girl, let me tell you, Chad. That thing, let me tell you, because see, don't nobody know what I know. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Now you sit down because they done baited you in at that point. Y'all ain't going to talk to me. I'm telling you, you see how easy that was? Because we don't check the stuff around. And they bait you in because they know your proclivity. They know that stuff. They know how they got to get a little bit of juice. You come running. Oh, come on now. Y'all know that's how we do. That's how we do. Give you a little juice. So we see that we walk in agreement. That's the first thing we have to check, when you walk in agreement. So that means when God delivers us out of something, after he delivers us and as he is dealing with us, the next thing we have to do is check who we walking with. Oh, check us, because we're going to be moving forward. So now you got to check who you're walking with. So it says that we started out walking. Amen. Now, in your deliverance, amen, you feel like you're walking by yourself because I'm delivered, honey. I'm free. I got liberty. Y'all know we've been dancing the last couple of weeks. We got liberty, honey. Oh, yes, hallelujah. People high in the air, they just get just free. We got liberty. Hallelujah. But nobody looked beside them to see who was walking with them. Oh, you ain't see Ben and Betty that was standing back there beside you. You know, she's saying the same thing, too. I'm free, too. I'm free, too. But she's saying it with an attitude because she really ain't free yet. She still got a little something in her heart because I still know you owe me that money because I know what you said about me because I really know what you think about me, but I'm free, too. Hallelujah. But you ain't see that bitter vibe that was standing there with you.
Yeah. Oh, you think you got yourself together now? I'm free too. You think you got your life together now? Come on, y'all.
Y'all know what people do because everybody ain't celebrating your liberation.
Right.
Had to change my voice, though. You know, say about it. No, I was talking about a male and a female. Hallelujah. Did I make my point?
Yeah.
Okay. Amen. And so, you know, as we're walking and we're going in the right direction and we're so focused on our own liberation, we have not taken the time to look beside us to see who we're walking with. And this is the most important thing, because these same people that you're walking with have the ability to trip you up. Hallelujah. And so we think that once we get saved and sanctified, they just gonna drop off. No, they still there. They ain't going nowhere. They're still there. With all of your holiness that's on you, with all of the righteousness on you, they're going to stay right there and hate you. Oh, Lord Jesus, they're going to stay right with you and hate you right there. They ain't going nowhere. See, that's the job of bitterness. Bitterness lurk around. Amen. Amen. But you can equate bitterness, amen, to HIV. Oh, Jesus, help me. Amen. It lurk around for years, waiting for the right opportunity to spring up on you. Lord Jesus. Ah, forgive you, if you love God. That
was a good one.
Come on, and look around and wait for the right opportunity. Wait until you're at your lowest. Woo! Then all of a sudden you start feeling the symptoms. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me.
Yeah.
You start feeling the symptoms of it. Amen. So that's why once you get that clean bill of health, you better check everybody around you. Amen. You clean, you good? Come on, we need to do some tests. We need to get everybody checked out. Oh, y'all ain't gonna talk to me. Hallelujah. When we get so free and we get liberated, you forget that the folk around you need to be free too. If y'all gonna walk in unity, how can two walk together? The Bible says, lest you agree. So if I got delivered, I got set free, God broke me out of the bondage that I was in, but my friends still tied up. Amen. It is not for me to leave them. Hallelujah. Amen. You better look. Honey, they got the vaccine over up the street. Are you going to get it or not? Now, if they choose not to want the antivirus or the vaccine, then you got to go. Because then you put yourself at risk of being reinfected. Hallelujah. That's how we get bitterness. Because we got all these carriers around us. And we end up getting reinfected because we play, we want to play a Russian roulette with our spiritual sobriety because it's not important to us. Okay, so it says, don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Sitting is to take a resting position. Sitting is submitting to what is being received or presented. Sitting is the position you take when you're ready to receive. So it says that we should not be sitting in the seat. Now, in this text, the word seat is translated to assembly, dwelling place, company, or habitation. So it says that we should not be sitting in the seat of what? The scornful. Now this one messed me up. Scornful is translated in the Hebrew, or the Hebrew definition of scornful is ambassador.
Oh.
Woo! Scornful is translated from the Hebraic definition, is translated as ambassador. Ambassador. An ambassador is a sent one. Let me give you the Hebrew definition. A scoffer, a scorner, is to speak barbarously in a foreign language from those or from those who spoke in a foreign language, appearing to those who are ignorant of it. So what am I saying? A scornful person is a person, is an ambassador, one who speaks or one who babbles, one who speaks a foreign language from what you're used to. So the scripture says, don't sit in the seat of the scornful. So it tells us, don't sit down and get stupid.
Okay.
Don't sit and get stupid. Because see, what it really is saying is, don't forget what God brought you out of. Because once you sit down, then you begin to fully accept what is being told to you. So if God pulled you all the way out of that, once you sit down and rest in it, and you have allowed yourself to receive all of the negativity, you mess around and forget who you are once you sit down. He said, don't sit in the seat of the ambassador, the one who is sent to take you off your face. Oh, Lord. So you went from walking with them to standing with them to trading places with them. Oh, my God. Trading places with them. Oh. Okay. A scoffer, scorner, is a babbler. What does that mean? Now we've given over our full attention to someone who's not talking about anything. Gossiping. They ain't saying nothing that edifies you. Nothing that edifies the body. Nothing. They have nothing good to say. You mean to tell me all that walking, all that standing, and now we sitting, and I've gone backwards and not forward? That's why it's important to check your friends. Check the people who are around you. Check the company you keep. Because if God is propelling you forward and if your company is holding you in place or bringing you back, then they are doing a disservice to what God is calling for you in your life. But I can't leave them because they my friend, though, because I love them, though. But we've been down like four flat tires for years. You don't understand. That's my dog. That's my girl. That's my boy. You better leave them. You better leave them. Because if God delivered you out of something, honey, and you don't want to go back, you better take your cape off and get out of there. You better offer them the antidote. Do you want to be free? No, I.
I made no mistake, but
nope. If they don't want to be free, see, this is what something that we have to do as the body of believers. Amen. I love Jesus because when Jesus gave the disciples the assignment, and he tells them, I want you to go into the different towns, go two by two, you know, to do your assignment. He encouraged them, go out, preach the gospel, win souls, deliver the people. But then he threw this caveat in there. Yo, if they don't want you in their town, kick the dust off your feet and leave. Oh, where is it? See, that's what, we want to be the super Christians. And that's why you better. Oh, that's why you better, because we want to save people
her and not let Jesus save her. Come on. That's why you better, because you carry a NASA. Oh, come on here. Y'all talk to me. Because you want to be the super friend. You want to be the savior. No. Take the cape off. You can't save nobody. Jesus is the savior. Glory to God. Jesus is the savior, not us. We are the conduit to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if you are in a place and you are sharing the good news of the gospel and they don't want it, baby, kick the dirt off your shoes and keep going. I don't care if it's your mama, your daddy, your cousin, your uncle. Sometimes it got to be your children. If they don't want it, keep it moving. Pray for them. Amen.
Amen.
That's something we have such a hard time doing, because we want to get that notch on our belt. You know, when we pray, you know, that's going to make our priest going to make us pray hard. We need to save somebody's life because I did this and I did that. We always want to take God's glory. We ain't do nothing. You couldn't even save yourself. We couldn't even save ourselves. Lord, have mercy. How many of us have struggled, amen, with suicidal thoughts? And if it won't for the Holy Ghost to come and say, snap out of it. Come on here. Some of us would be then jumped off a bridge by now if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost. Some of us would be, amen, and shot ourselves in the head by now if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost. Some of us been and got beat to death by somebody because we run our mouth too much. Oh, y'all ain't going to talk to me. If it wasn't for the Holy Ghost, amen, that told you to shut up and go home. Come on here now. Y'all talking to me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's important that we cannot get into the place of trying to take God's position. Amen. When God says that we're blessed, amen, you're blessed when you make the decision to live a delivered life. Amen. And don't go back. Hallelujah. Don't try to save somebody else. Not care about people. Let me clarify, because I don't want to, she's saying cruel. No, I'm not saying that. The Bible does tell us to go back, amen, and get your brothers, amen. But if they don't want to come, you don't go put them in a headlock and drag them out. You offer them, watch this. You better say that again. And watch this. This gonna bless your life. Watch this. What if you go back and your life is such a life that they are drawn to it and want to join you? Because that's what it's really supposed to be. Amen. And it's just what Pastor Tasha said. Don't babysit them. He ain't said go back and babysit them. Go and see if they want it. If they want it, bring them with you. If they don't want it, amen, you keep glowing until they can see the light. Woo! You keep shining until they can see the light. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bad companions make us bitter, not better. Hallelujah. Just because we got a whole bunch of unsaved folk around us and we try to use this excuse, oh, if Jesus was around unsaved folk, well, Jesus won't fornicate, he won't smoking, he won't drinking, he won't turning up, he won't turning down, he won't opening up, he won't zipping down, he won't doing none of that. Hello? He had a meal, he went home. Amen? Jesus had a meal, he went home. Yes. And while he was there in the midst of the sinners, what he did, he the woman with the alabaster box came, and he showed forth his grace before the sinners. Amen. See, we want to get in, and we want to get with the folk, and we want to do what they doing. Amen. We turning up for Jesus. No, you not. You turning up because you just like them. Oh, y'all ain't going to talk me mad now. You doing the same thing they doing. I just need them to see, you know, all church people ain't tight. Why not? They don't need to see the world in you. They need to see the glory in you. They need to see something different about you. And we are so ashamed of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we don't ever want to show anybody anything different. We want to look like them. We should make people uncomfortable. Oh, y'all, talk to me. You should make your unsaved friends uncomfortable. You should. You should. You should make some of your saved friends comfortable who's living like hell. Hallelujah. We don't ever want to do that. Because we say we want God to make us free and deliver us. And he said, okay, I want you to be this way. But don't get caught up
in the drama. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't stand in the way of the sinner. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. And what we do, we go right to that. Walking in the counsel of the ungodly, because see, you go to your pastor and you say, "Pastor, I've been struggling with this and I've been struggling with that," and your pastor said, "Well, come on, let's pray." The Lord said you need to turn your plate down. The Lord said you need to stop taking phone calls late at night. The Lord said you need to come on back and serve on this committee. I don't take all that. So there you go, running over to Quisha. Girl, because, you know, sometimes they just want us to do too much. I just need somebody to encourage me. And Quisha tell you, honey, if you love them, girl, go on, be with them. Hallelujah. See what I'm saying? But then you mad at God at the end when you get caught up in the game. Oh, okay. But you mad. Come on. Talk to me. Come on. But we have to understand. God is saying you are blessed. The blessing is upon you. Stay blessed. And if in order to stay blessed, you can't be seeking counsel that you know is not in my will. Stop talking to folks that ain't going to leave. Listen, holiness don't feel good. Can I say that? Right? It don't feel good. People, we done shouted, we done jumped, we done cried, we done snotted, we done fell on the floor. We done tried to present it as pretty as we possibly can. But if I don't know other pastor tell you this, everybody who's online, everybody who's listening to me here today, if don't nobody, no pastor ever tell you this, righteousness and holiness don't feel good. You understand me? It does not. It costs you. It makes you feel uncomfortable. It makes you have to pay. It does. It does. But that's because it's so valuable. It's so bad because it's your life. See, because we can only, what we do is we live our life according to what we see here. But what we're sacrificing is for eternity. You understand what I'm saying? That's why it seems so hard now, because all we can see is here in the grave. We don't understand that there is more to come. We have an eternity to live out. This time that we live in, it doesn't compare to what's to come. And so he said, give a little now so that you can get a lot on the other side. And see, what we have grown to get accustomed to in this day and age is, I don't want mine on the other side. I want mine right now. Okay. It don't work like that. And then it says, don't stand in the way of the sinner. Don't stand in the way of sin. What's the word that I want to use? Don't actively engage things that you know are not right. Just don't. If you say you don't want to be bitter, you say you want to stay delivered, but don't actively engage in things that you know gonna pull you back. Just don't do it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You're blessed. You're blessed. You're delivered. You're free. You're blessed. Don't actively engage in conversations. And even when people try to pull you back to that old place by trying to tell you who you used to be. I knew you when. Okay, well, if you knew me then and you still think I'm that person, then that means we need to sever ties. See, oh, help me. We still friends with those people. If you still friends with those people, you need to check yourself, because their job is to hold you down. You're never going to get ahead when somebody is always reminding you of who you used to be. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, they want to try to tell you, well, it's your testimony. Well, I don't need you to tell my testimony. Hallelujah. Let me tell my own testimony. Thank you very much. I may not want everybody to know that part of my story.
Right.
I may be saving that for later. You know, that's going to be the job that's going to take me over right there. That's going to bring all the tears. You know, I got to work my way up to that.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I'm going to present that on a Friday night. Don't tell my stuff. And then finally, don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Don't exchange places with the negativity that tries to engage you. Amen. Amen. So what I'm saying here, let me finish it. I got a couple of scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33. It says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Proverbs 12 and 26. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked, it leads them astray. Proverbs 22, 24 and 25. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. 1 Corinthians 5 and 11. But I am now writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or sister, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an adulterer, a slanderer, a drunkard, or a swindler. Do not even eat with these people. What the Bible says. In this
day and age,
you can't judge me. Well, I'm not judging you. I'm just reading the scripture. Amen. Just reading the scripture. Can't nobody but God judge me. Well, that's, I'm reading his word. Amen. This is what the word of the Lord said. And so what I'm saying here is I'm not saying that all of our bitterness comes directly from other people, because it doesn't. Our circumstances develop a great deal of our bitterness. But what I am saying is that if we've been delivered and set free, it is imperative that we guard our liberty. We guard our freedom. Amen. Even ex-addicts understand the importance of guarding their sobriety. And it's the same spiritually. Guard your spiritual sobriety. Roots start with seed. Amen. So we're digging out the root of bitterness. Well, if you want to dig out the root of bitterness, avoid having negative seeds planted. Then you don't have to worry about roots even being developed. Amen? Amen. So at the end of the day, amen, as God is continuing to deliver us and continuing to push us into our place of wholeness and to our place of fullness, hallelujah, then we have to understand that we, as we're doing an internal check and as we're letting him clean all this inside stuff out, now we got to do some spot checks, some external spot checks. Who are the people in our life that we need to put in another pocket? We need to put in another position. Amen. Maybe God is not saying knock them out your life, but maybe they need to be put in another position. Hey, oh, Lord, are y'all with me? You understand what I'm saying? Amen. Everybody has seasons. And sometimes people stay in your life for too long. And when people stay in your life for too long in the wrong place, they become a hindrance to you. And you know what happens? They become bitter because they're in the wrong position, and then they make you bitter. Glory, are you hearing me? Move, put people in the right position. Amen. Make sure, amen, that whatever you got, you call yourself, Team Nate, Team Tasha, Team Marlon, Team Kia, Team Keisha, whatever you call yourself, you got your own team. All right, I need to check the people on my team. Amen. To make sure they're in the right position. It's the worst thing. Amen. I say I play basketball. You know I don't. But let's just say I play basketball. You know what I'm saying? And they put me on the football field. But I don't know anything about football. But that, wouldn't it be crazy? It would make no sense, because I'm not going to be useful at all in the position that you put me in. Amen. Unless, you know, I'm one of those people who know how to do both, but I can't do either. So, oh, okay. Marlon can. Praise God. Amen. So I pray that what was shared on today was a blessing. I pray that you all have, as we're going deeper in, I really hope, guys, that what we have been talking about over the last couple of weeks, I hope that this is being applied to your life. I don't know about, this is what I can say. I can see this working in my life. Every week, the Lord is exposing something in me, and I love it. I love it. How you know God is doing it is because them things you thought you already dealt with, that stuff keep creeping back up on you. And you're like, wait a minute, I thought that was dealt with. No, because you said I could go deeper. And I need you to see, you really didn't deal with that. You just put a Band-Aid on it. No, we need to bring that back up, because I want you to be delivered for real. Deliver means it don't hurt no more when somebody presses it. So we have to keep allowing the Lord to bring this stuff up. And so, amen, I pray that everyone who is listening online, that you were blessed by the word on this evening. Amen. We invite you to go to our website at www.ditrministries to find out more information about our ministry. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the word that came forth on tonight. We thank you, God, for every life that's being changed. We thank you, Father God, that because of your word, we will no longer be bitter, but we're going to be better. I thank you, Father God, that you're going to give us the wisdom to be able to put those people in the right position. I thank you, Father God, that you're going to cause us to do it with love and with gentleness. And I give you glory, Father God, for giving us the boldness to be able to hear your word and respond accordingly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 All right, y'all. My time is up on this evening, but I want to encourage each and every one of you that as you go during the course of the week, I don't care what you're going through in your life. I don't care what you have even experienced in their past. I don't care what people have said about you. As a matter of fact, I don't even care what you say about yourself. I'm here to let you know today, sir and ma'am, that you are a diamond in the rough. I love you, and I know God does too. Go in peace, guys. I love you.
Thank you for tuning into Ignite. I pray that something was said on today that has provoked you to seek after God the greater, and that you would make a new commitment to your God-given purpose. We would love to hear your testimonies as to how God is igniting your life. Please contact us at www.ditrministries.com and be encouraged. Time and pressure perfects God's purpose for our lives. No matter how rough things may seem on the outside,